Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, January the 14th, 2013. Hope you managed to stay warm during a very cold Tucson weekend. And unfortunately, it is not over yet. We are 3 days into the hard freeze warning. The National Weather Service is indicating they will be extending the hard freeze rather than ending it tomorrow morning for another morning after that, and that would put us in record territory with 5 straight hard freezes here in Tucson, Arizona. But, well, summer is around the corner, I hope. We are live each weekday from noon to 1 on the home of the Buckmaster Show. It's AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the program. We post it so you can hear it anywhere, any place, anytime. The show is up at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. Also, we have a link on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun at gvnews.com, and the homepage for Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. During this noon hour, we'll launch the show with commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, who are up to the plate today with the Monday political face-off. 30 minutes past the hour, housing analyst John Strobeck will fill us in on the latest on the Tucson real estate scene. There is some room for encouragement there. And we'll close out the show with Joan Lionetti of Tucson Clean and Beautiful on the latest on their Memorial Tree program. We encourage you to join us at 790-2040. That is the Buckmaster Show live line number. Every Monday here on the Buckmaster Show, we kick things off with one of two teams of commentators. This week it's Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, Vice Chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, how did you guys manage to get through the weekend?
I was cold. I have to say, my parents moved here from Minnesota in 64, and this isn't what we bargained for. And, I've never seen a freeze this long. No. And I suffer every summer to get nice temperatures in the winter, and now I get this? Yeah. It's wrong. It's just wrong.
And I know you love to garden, as do I, and trying to protect what plants we have. And Bruce Ash, you may lose some, but then again, you don't mind getting your hands dirty.
No, not at all. And, you know, you also, the other thing about living here in Tucson is even when we have cold days and nights like this, you still don't have to shovel sunshine.
That's true.
Bruce, let's begin with you. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Council member, has left the Republican Party and has joined the Democratic Party. This is kind of personal for you, because didn't you help recruit Mr. Kasachek?
I helped recruit him actually right here at this radio station. And I think that work that I participate in 2009 was a direct influence on his election.
Well, then can you figure this out?
Steve's coming out letter was, I thought, disingenuous and inaccurate. Steve is a bit like a spider, and he's gonna strike at his Democrat colleagues now. It's really, for me, it's a question who does it first, him or them. He certainly has not received much in the way of support on the city council, getting seconds to many of his motions. We'll see if that changes, and we'll see if he turns on Democrat leaders as well. But, you know, I'm not surprised, and, we're going to have an election next fall, and we'll see what happens.
Paul, Bruce characterizing the councilman as a spider ready to now lash out at his new Democratic colleagues.
I don't think so. I look at Steve Kasachik is an independent-minded person. I think that's why he left the Republican Party, because, frankly, it's moved too far to the right for a lot of Republicans like him who are centrist. He's fiscally responsible.
He moved to the left.
He's a fiscally responsible person. But, for example, he took a lot of grief for doing a gun buyback program from his people in his own party. And I don't quite understand that. I mean, what is wrong with a gun buyback program? It doesn't seem to do anything wrong.
Paul, you know what the deal was. This was the week of Steve, okay, from the Loft Theater presentation to the gun buyback, and then to his very well-timed letter of resignation from the Republican Party.
So you're
this
saying there all were three, about Monday Steve. Night, then the Tuesday buyback, and then the announcement
all about
Friday.
Steve, all about Steve, all the time.
Well, you know, I have to get in here and say, look, what the Republican Party has done in recent years has gone so far to the right that there's a lot of more centrist Republicans who have either left the party or upset with their own party. They maybe re-register as independents. Steve became a Democrat, and I don't think he's going to see a primary fight in a Democratic Party besides maybe a gadfly Democrat running against him. And he'll win easily in the general election because I think he's done a good job in the city council. He does project a fiscally responsible budget. Whenever he looks at the budget, he makes good recommendations on how to save money. And at the same time, he isn't far to the right like the Republican Party. And I think, you know, the Democrats are a big tent. We like centrists in our party because we want to find that middle ground.
The centrists in your party in the U.S. Congress are ostracized, and they're not very well regarded, and you know that. The fact of the matter is that
yours the party is that the Tea Party has made it almost impossible for John Boehner to rule his caucus. So don't give me this about somehow we've ostracized
and thank goodness,
centrists
and
in our
thank
party,
goodness,
which isn't true. We have Joe Manchin. We got all sorts of folks.
And thank goodness, Paul, that there are people who stand up for what they think is right. You know, politics and compromise are good as long as you have friction that exists as well. It can't all go one way. And the president is very content when he gets things all his way. And his news conference today is sure to get him in more trouble. This is not going to be the spring of compromise, I don't think, at all.
One of the things, Bill, that I think is missing here is that we aren't making room for people like Steve in our political discourse. We need centrists to be able to cobble together consensus legislation to get things done. And Steve has done that on the city council. I think he's done a good job on the city council. Frankly, I was going to vote for him if I had lived in the city, even if he stayed in the Republican Party, because I think he's done an exemplary job. And so I understand where he's coming from because I can tell his frustration of what he was going through in the Republican Party, and he was being ostracized by the Republican Party. He's being forced out of it, and now this is what happens. This is what happens.
Was he forced out? Of course not.
Bruce, if this keeps going in your party, your party is in real trouble in terms of winning elections.
And your
party's
in trouble because you believe in the wrong things. Let me just say that Councilman Kasachik's effectiveness, I think, has been marginalized by his acceptance of Democrat beliefs and ideals. And I call into, as Exhibit 1, his abandonment of support of police and fire safety at the expense of citizen safety in the city of Tucson, and you know this is a huge problem because more and more money is going to human services and to transportation and being stolen away from fire safety and police.
That's just not true. Well, the budget doesn't reflect that
facts,
at all.
The facts are clear, and Bruce, the force is way down from the needs that it has.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but the reason that is because of the recession we've been in and the fact that we're not getting the sales tax revenue we've had in the past because of the recession, and everybody is getting cut back in the city because of that. Over the last 5 years, I don't think that has anything to do with resources being re-diverted somewhere else, which I don't think is the case.
You don't cut police and fire safety. If three-quarters of the people who work at city government didn't show up, nobody would know the difference. But when you need a cop or a fireman tonight, you need him there in 4 minutes or less.
790-2040, 790-2040. When we come back on the Political Face-Off with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, today the governor presenting her State of the State address, and that signals the opening of the 2013 legislature. We'll hear what Mr. Eckerstrom and Mr. Ash believe are the big top items on the legislative agenda as we continue with the Monday Political Face-Off.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing more than 500 projects. Current projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and La Cañada Drive from River to Ina. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, and Sun Shuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business Internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off as we push toward 1220. The Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's is located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. The legislature opening up today, the governor giving her State of the State speech, and Paul Eckerstrom, it looks like the governor will put as priority item number one, revamping the state sales tax system.
Well, if I'm correct about it, she wants to make it administratively more efficient. That's fine with me as long as we still get revenues and we're not reducing tax rates again, which we've done for the last 20 years. We have a third of the income tax we once had in 1990, and that directly correlates why our education system has dropped to being middle of the pack among states in funding of schools to dead last. And I don't know. There's still this big budget hole because we're losing the 1 cent sales tax, the temporary one, in July. And we also have business tax cuts that are being put into place and phased in starting in July. And there's about a $1.5 billion hole in the budget that they can fill with some of the money that they put aside recently with some the extra revenues as the economy improves, but it still doesn't fill in that whole hole. And my guess is they're going to cut education again, even though Jan Brewer is asking for a little bit more for education to pay for some of her reform measures. But I don't even think they're going to do that. And I think they're going to cut education again. If they do that, that's a disaster for the state.
Bruce Ash.
Well, leadership in both the Senate and the House have, I think, in large part agreed with the governor that we need to restore funding to education K through 12. And I am cautiously optimistic that that's what will happen. I even talked with Senate Majority Leader Gowan over the weekend, and I think he's interested in pursuing that as well. The governor's program on sales tax reform, I think, is really more one of simplification and perhaps ending some of the loopholes. I wouldn't necessarily call it a tax increase, but I think it will result in some tax increases. But moreover, it should reduce some of the cost both to businesses as well as to state government and to city governments who are trying to collect and account for sales tax, which ought to be a good thing.
Yeah, I understand that there's a number of very complex forms you have to file that could be simplified, and I think that's a good measure if it gets through. And if we do close a few loopholes and broaden our tax base a little bit, that would be good as well. But I'm worried because we lost 21% over the last 5 years of funding for schools. We were the highest cut state in the country in terms of our schools. And Bruce says they're going to restore funding. They're not restoring funding. They're going to maybe fund some new measures, reform measures that Governor Brewer wants to put in place, like accountability measures at the school districts. And that's fine, except that's not getting us back that 21% cuts that we took over the last 5 years. And my worry is that we're going to take another cut overall anyway, because they're not going to be able to close this budget a hole unless they cut somewhere. And the only other place really to cut is a prison system, and they don't seem to ever want to touch that.
790-2040, 790-2040. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Paul Eckerstrom is seated to the left of me, and Bruce Ash is seated to the right in the KVOI studios. Bruce, other than the budget and taxes, Do you imagine that guns will be an issue at this session of the legislature?
I don't know. The governor obviously will be talking about that. I think she starts her speech in roughly an hour and 10 minutes or so from now. We have, I think, some fine laws on the books right now. I'm really not sure that there's much more that needs to be done, except for maybe a resolution supporting the Second Amendment being observed in the U.S. Congress. And really, I don't think that even the national gun debate that may soon erupt in Congress is really going to result in any changes in our current laws. I think it's more of a diversion, and frankly, I think the president's taking advantage of a horrific thing that happened in Connecticut back in mid-December, and he ought not do that for political gain.
I would hope. I think there's going to be kind of crazy gun legislation coming out of this legislature again. Hopefully not what we've seen in the past, but I think they're going to probably I think they're probably going to want to pass measures to allow teachers to have guns in the schools, and I think that would be a mistake. I do support something, if it's funded properly, so the school districts don't have to foot the bill, putting a police officer in each school for security reasons, so we don't have a Sandy Hook here in Tucson or in Arizona. But I don't think they will do that because it costs money. I'm a little bit worried about what's going to come out in terms of gun legislation. If they really want to do something about this, putting a resource officer in every school and funding it would be a good step. And the other step, I think, fund mental health in this state, which we are, again, woefully underfunded in this state. Fund mental health so that people like Jared Loeffner and people like that.
This is not just a state issue, Paul, so don't paint it in that fashion.
Well, it's a national issue, too. This is a national worse. Phenomenon. It's worse here.
It's not
fund
any
mental
worse
health.
Here. It is a problem all across the country.
It's like education. We're last in funding of mental
and
health.
Paul, please, stop using that often used and really very, very tired and inaccurate thing where we're 49th in the country. There's like 10 states. 50th. There's like 10 states, and then there's like another 10 states tied, you know, for 48th, okay? I mean, just please, get over it. I mean, we spend more in education today than we did 10 years ago by a long stretch. And going back to the school resource officers, the president and Congress have talked about funding some sort of a officer, you know, police officer in school provision. It's a $6 billion project if you do it in all the schools across America. You know, we spend $6 billion like at the snap of a finger. If we really want to protect children in schools, we'll do that.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
A caller who did not want to go on the air but left this question with Rose for Paul Eckerstrom. Which party does the teachers' union give their donations to? Paul Eckerstrom.
Well, I think the Democratic Party, but I don't think that's exclusive.
Oh, they sure did it in this past election. They went after one Arizona legislator after another. And frankly, these were not very clean campaigns, Paul.
Well, you know, if the Republican Party wouldn't vilify teachers, who are underpaid, by the way, vilify teachers for every ill in our society and our schools, then maybe they would be supportive of them once in a while. You know, the Republican Party helped create our public education system in this country back at the turn of the 1900s. And it makes me feel kind of ill now that the Republican Party is in full attack mode on our public schools. And that's why teachers aren't supporting Republicans.
And the teachers' unions are partners with the administration, this administration, the Clinton administration before him, against Republicans. This is seen as a blow to teachers. It's really not. It is the administrators and it is the school boards across the country who have taken more money out of the classrooms. And the problem here in Tucson Unified School District, for example, is that only about 55 cents out of every dollar spent on education ever makes it into the classroom. Republicans want that number at close to 70 cents. What do the Democrats want, Paul?
Bruce, we want
you
money.
You don't have an answer.
I'll tell you what I want.
Because Republicans want it at about 70
cents.
Would you
let me answer?
Here's
my answer. Pay teachers what they're worth at a mass degree level education that they're required. Pay them what they're worth so we get the best. Second one is
nobody argues
lower
with
class
that.
Sizes. And you need money
nobody
for those two things. You need money, not another
tax
cut.
You need to
cut.
Spend less money on administration and some of the goofy things that happen with administrators and all the bloated bureaucracy that exists, Paul.
Well, you know, part of what you're talking about, that 55 cents, doesn't take into account that they have to spend money on buses. buses. That isn't counted in the classroom. They spend money on, if they spend money on a counselor.
Cafeteria workers on blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
You know, Paul, one thing I'll hand it to Steve Kozacek, my last experience with him at the roundtable on KUAT, he went through a three-page list of new jobs that were being offered at TUSD with some of the goofiest job classifications on stuff that will never have any kind of an impact in
the school. Bruce Ash, Paul Ackerstrom, thank you, gentlemen, for being on the Face-Off today.
Thanks, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Check out Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And also, like them on Facebook. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Tucson real estate situation with John Strobeck. That's coming up.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is calling on Congress to act quickly to increase the nation's debt limit. He says the mere threat of defaulting on government obligations is harming the economy. Speaker John Boehner says the House will do its job, passing legislation to lift the borrowing cap and keep the government running. But Boehner says Democrats will have to accept some new spending controls. Suicides in the U.S. military surged to a record 349 in 2012. That's a higher total than the 295 American combat deaths in Afghanistan last year. Former President George H.W. Bush has left a Houston hospital where he spent almost 2 months recovering from a bad cough. On Wall Street, the Dow up 24 points, the NASDAQ is down 7. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The Rugg Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rugg Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rugg Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rugg Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rugg Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. John Strobeck, longtime Tucson real estate guru.
Wow, guru.
Just elevated you there, John, to the highest possible status. John has been analyzing the Tucson housing scene for many years. What was it? 15, 20 years?
20 years.
20 years.
20 years as of this year.
And you had never seen a downturn like we have had.
That's right.
And hopefully the good news is that 2013 will bring us some good news. And I guess we ended, John, 2012 with some good news about new housing permits.
We actually did. We did 2,040 permits in 2012, and while when we compare that to 2007, which had almost 12,000, that's not very much, but it, considering the fact that that's the most since 2009, when we had 2,077 permits, and last year we were at 1,438, so that's a considerable jump from that, about a 30% jump. So that's a great thing, because Bill, the new housing industry puts so much revenue into the and economic impact into the area that it's excellent to have that.
And what is this reflective of? Just the economy starting to loosen up a little bit?
Actually not.
Okay.
It's very interesting to see this, and there's a couple of really interesting things that are going on. Number one is, if you're in the resale, if there's a resale house out there for sale, it's probably a short sale, a distress sale, or a foreclosure. All right? And all the institutional people are coming in, and they're buying those up, and they're having the field day in those, but you're not finding anybody who wants to put their house on the market just as a standard resale, because they don't want to lose money on it. They don't want to lose all their equity in the house, so they're not going to put it on the market with the type of market we have going now, because most people, if they're not upside down, they're just not going to make anything on their house, and they're not willing to do that. So they're going to wait, and so we don't see as many resale houses that are the typical resale market coming on. So what has happened is people have started turning to new homes and looking for new homes. The second really interesting thing to me on this, Bill, is that you and I have been living around on this earth for a few years, but you know, there's a whole generation that are going out home shopping that are saying, housing downturn? What housing downturn?
Right.
Because this has been going on for 7 years now. So this is, if people were in college, they have gotten married, and now they're out there looking for a house, and they're saying, well, isn't this what you normally do? Isn't this a normal housing market?
So, and they're just not finding the inventory.
They're not finding a resale inventory, so they're turning to new construction inventory.
So the people who are very cautious about putting their home on the market. They don't want to lose the equity they put into it. You wonder how much longer they will continue to be on the sidelines before they put those resale homes up.
Yeah, we're going to have to see some prices go up, and we're going to see that happen. We're going to see that happening starting this year.
The median sales price has indeed, John, as you know, climbed. It climbed nearly 23% since December 2011 from $120,000 to $147,500 last month. So that's going up.
That's on the resale side. Yeah. But if you look on the new construction side, it's gone up from $200,000 almost to $230,000. So we're seeing a big jump, and almost all of that increase took place in the fourth quarter. So what we're seeing is a real interesting thing happen, and we're going to see prices continue to rise. The reason for the housing prices going up on this has been demand. However, we are just about out of lot inventory that was done back in the 2006-2007 time frame. And now people being builders and developers, have been buying lots. And the lot prices that they are paying are huge. They are, some of them, $40,000 and $50,000 a lot for an improved lot. So that's going to say, well, we're going to have to move those housing prices up, because the lots that we are using are probably in the $20,000 to $30,000 range. So that's going to cause the housing prices to increase, particularly when they start using the new land that they're purchasing right now.
John Strobeck is with us, longtime Tucson area housing analyst on the Buckmaster Show at 1240. You can join the conversation at 790-2040. If you have a question about real estate in the Tucson area, John would be delighted to take that call. The lots, you say they're purchasing these lots. What part of town, John, are these new homes being built in?
Well, it's very interesting. We've had a good increase in Marana that has a lot of building going on out there. There is still considerable building going on out west, west of the out Ajo and Kinney and that area, and off also on Valencia.
West of
I-10. Yeah, out that way. But the biggest increase, now it's not a huge number increase, but last year in 2011, 43 homes were permitted in Oro Valley. This year, 167 homes were permitted in Oro Valley. Mm. Now, Oro Valley has not been friendly to new construction, but they're turning around and allowed some builders to come into Rancho Vistoso and some other places. So we're seeing that start to turn around. But the fees in Oro Valley are higher than anywhere else. So consequently, that's another reason that we see the home prices going up.
Are these some of the established home builders? I know that that industry was just devastated, as you know, John. Are these established home builders? Are these people from out of state, or where are they coming from?
Oh, no, it's the Pulte's and the Meritage and this type of home builder that are out there buying up land, and there's some developers that are doing the same thing.
And where you mentioned where they are being built. Are these like a kind of a medium sized home they're building? Are they entry level, or how would you characterize what's being built?
Well, I know Meritage is doing all types of products. They bought lots for an entry level, they bought lots for the mid, and they bought some luxury lots. So they're looking at the entire spectrum. And Pulte does the same thing as well.
How about the construction jobs? So this would indicate the construction scene may start to pick up a little bit.
A little bit. But most of the people that are out there have been just sitting, you know, almost barely making it as far as the subcontractors, and now they're smiling just a little bit more than they were, because they have a little bit of volume to do. So that's an excellent thing that is happening in our economy.
Average days on the market now for a home, going back to the resale for homes in the Tucson area, last month was 55 days on the market, after 2012 started out at a high of 80 days on the market. So I think for folks who are waiting to sell their existing home, things may be turning the corner there.
Yes, but you're going to have to see the prices come up before it's going to be good for them to sell the home.
Yeah. those prices need to come up before. And, well, how are we doing in comparison to Phoenix?
Oh, we're just not doing anything compared to Phoenix. Phoenix is on fire right now. They are going like crazy, and they have a lot of economic activity going up there. So we are not even close to Phoenix.
And the mortgage rates continue to be?
A very, very reasonable. A good time to buy a house if you can.
John Strobeck with us. John, longtime housing expert, and John also has a couple of other hats that he wears. It's always fun to mention your other activities. You DJ at how would you characterize?
Well, that? I do most of the DJ most of the car shows there and things go. Around town, and Little Anthony's car shows and cruise nights, and then I'm a minister for the Mission Valley Church of Christ.
So. And John was saying before we went on, he did two sermons yesterday to a very cold congregation. Somebody forgot to deliver the propane, John, right?
Oh, yes. And, you know, we had to warm the place up, I'll tell you.
John Strobeck, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Always good to be with you, Bill.
Okay, John Strobeck with us on the Buckmaster Show as we approach now 12:45. Joan Lionetti will join us in studio next from Tucson. Clean and Beautiful. We'll be talking about the commemorative tree program. That's coming up.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and the Kolb Road extension at Tanque Verde. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
It's 12:50 now on the Buckmaster Show. What is it, warmed up to, what was that, 43 degrees, something like that? 43 degrees after a morning low in the mid-20s. We have two more days to deal with these hard freezes. Joan Lionetti joins us now from Tucson Clean and Beautiful. How are you weathering this cold weather, Joan?
Well, I'm taking out all my clothes from the east. My fake furs that you can never wear.
During the next several years, nearly 600 commemorative trees bought by loved ones in different organizations to honor family members and friends living and dead are expected to be planted in seven garden areas along the Pantano River Park, which borders the Pantano Wash. Joan Lionetti, this sounds like a terrific plan to honor someone living or someone who has recently passed away.
Mm-hmm. Celebration of birthdays, anniversaries, special events. This has kind of evolved, Bill, from our El Paseo de los Arbolos that we opened in 1996 along the Santa Cruz River with County Parks and Recreation. And it was so successful, we had anticipated 5 years till the whole mile was planted, and it was under 2.5 years. The public was so responsive to it. And so we've had names already that have been carried over for the past 16 years waiting for a new tree park.
So there will be seven different garden areas then along?
Yes.
Along the River
yes,
Park area.
Along the River Park. It's part of the loop.
And what type of trees are you talking about?
These are selected desert trees. They're Palo Verde, mesquite, desert willow. And the selection of trees, our landscape plan is in place. So it's the way the numbers go would be the particular tree depending upon the landscape plan.
And then there would be a little plaque in front of the tree?
Yeah,
is that how it works?
There's a wall for each grove, and the names are put on that wall, and there's a corresponding number to the tree in that particular grove.
The trees will restore more than 2 miles of natural habitat and will grow to provide, give a little shade out there as well.
Give a little shade. I mean, with bicycling and skateboarding and walking and running and equestrian, we really need that shade along those paths.
How does it work, the program? If someone's interested in getting involved, do they then purchase purchase the tree? Is that
they
what
purchase
it's
the tree for $225, and that includes the cost of maintenance. It includes the cost of planting the tree, buying the tree, planting the tree, the engraving on the wall, and the corresponding number to the dedication number. And they also receive a certificate stating if they're buying the tree for someone, we send them the certificate and they can present it to whomever they've chosen to dedicate the tree to.
The tree program is just one of the many programs that Tucson Clean and Beautiful is involved in. It's a nonprofit organization incorporated in 1985 as kind of the flagship for community-based environmental volunteer efforts in the Tucson metro area. The program has grown to address recycling and waste reduction, urban forestry, land stewardship, and beautification. Speaking of beautification, Joan Lionetti, how are we doing with cleaning up the city? What's your assessment?
I think we're doing much better than we've been doing. We have a new director of transportation, and he's, in my opinion, has taken the bull by the horns. And he is looking at and planning our roadways, not just the asphalt component, but the whole enchilada, so to speak, and looking at how are we going to have our landscape and maintain it, and where are these funds coming from.
How has the whole recycling issue changed since you've been involved with Tucson Clean and Beautiful?
Oh, my gosh. We started the first telephone directory recycling program in the United States, and it kind of evolved into volunteers at 9 locations when there was no city program. To now, two months ago, we opened a state-of-the-art materials recovery center right over here on Ajo. And it has been extremely successful, and with new direction within the Solid Waste Environmental Service Department, we've really moved recycling forward so that I would say we're one of the leaders in the country, but as I always say, there's always a lot of room for improvement.
Is there a market for the recycled products? How has that
changed? Well, it's a commodity, mm-hmm. so it fluctuates. Uh-huh. And that's why so many in the early days couldn't stay in business, because of the fact that they couldn't go through the bad time, so to speak.
Tucson Clean and Beautiful has grown. You've expanded your mission. How did you originally, Joan Lionetti, get involved with Tucson Clean and Beautiful?
Well, I had applied for a job and had an interview in July of 1987. It was kind of a panel interview, kind of intimidating, with 9 people, government and Chamber of Commerce and county government and city government, and got selected and started in a little 8x10 office space next to old Tommy Price, who was director of operations, and moved the program forward because of the community. We respond to the grassroots. We don't do the hierarchy down. We do the roots up, like a tree.
Speaking of the roots, buffalo grass is a big problem. There have been some efforts to try to get away from you, trying to get rid of the stuff, and it's very hard, isn't it?
It's an invasive species, and it's highly combustible, flammable, and it takes over our native vegetation. We work with the Buffalo Grass Center, and we have a part-time coordinator that recruits volunteers and targets specific areas that are very badly in need of removal. And it's quite a task to remove it. You just can't pull it out. It's got to come out by the roots, and it's determined to stay in.
Yeah, it sure is. And it, as you say, it's a very invasive species that I think came here from South Africa. And
right.
It's very difficult to get rid of this stuff because it really does threaten our native species.
The additional issue there is if other states, if we're not the state of Sonora, Mexico, has a great buffalo grass, but they use it for cattle feed. And so, you know, we are connected, all connected, and other states are not addressing this issue. So to me, it has to be a more comprehensive international issue.
Joan Lionetti, always a pleasure. Where can people find out more about all of your programs, including what we started the conversation about, the Tree Memorial Program? I guess go to your website.
Go to our website.
TucsonCleanAndBeautiful.org.
That's it.
Okay. Joan Lionetti, thank you very much. Try to stay warm.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, and they want me to tell you, and I'm glad to do it, that they have a Red Paint Powwow coming up event in downtown Silver City. That is this upcoming weekend, January 18th, 19th, and 20th. And they also have, coming up February 9th, this should be a lot of fun if you like chocolate, and who doesn't, a chocolate fiesta. That's coming up in Silver City. Great places to stay in Silver, including Casitas de Gila guest houses, Continental Divide RV Park, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon, to name a few. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, on their fine website at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We thank Culligan very much. All of the guests here on the Buckmaster Show enjoy the Culligan water, and who wouldn't? It just simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Talk Show, John, the Dean of Local Talk. Then coming up tomorrow, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster. Hope you can stay warm on this very frigid night. Another one coming up. Remember to protect all the people, pets, pipes, and plants. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.